talk about the signs that we see about the coming of Jesus. And the signs we see in our world today certainly indicate that Jesus surely is coming soon. We do not know the day or the hour, but we know that the season is very upon us. Before I go ahead, I would like to just recognize the Holy Spirit, because without Him, you and I are nothing. He's the one who convicts and convinces and teaches us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You, Jesus, that when You went away, You said, it's necessary for me to go. I will send the Holy Spirit, and He will be a comfort. He'll be a guide, and He'll be a teacher to you. And so we receive that today, O God. I thank You that You teach us, help us to understand Your Word, and to recognize the signs of the time today. I pray for those that are hurting, for those that have had losses in their family. I pray especially for my nephew Stanley, whose son was killed in the motorcycle accident. I pray, O God, that You'll be with him and his wife and his family. I thank You, Lord, that You are the strength of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Signs of Jesus' soon return. By soon, I believe it is soon. I don't see how it can be much longer, but I don't know. You don't know. Every promise that Jesus has made to us, He will keep. And He did say that He would come again. Earthly man and woman, and we find out that there are people that make appointments. They tell us, I'll be there at a certain time. And you wait and you wait and you say, well, what happened? Jesus is not like that. But you know, Jesus does not even know when He's going to return to catch His bride, to take His people away. In that cloud, He does not know. The Father only knows. And so the devil knows the time is getting close, but he doesn't know either. He thinks he has an idea, and that's why he is attacking us so radically as he does, because he wants to discourage. You see the empty pews here, the empty seats. There are a lot of people ever since COVID that just got in the habit that they don't go to church anymore. And we shouldn't do that. But anyway, God will fulfill the promise that He's made. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. When we look at prophetic things, we can see that prophetic, it is fulfilled. Everything that He has spoken, it's coming to pass. In 2 Peter, he wrote there, he said, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following in their own evil desires. They'll say, where is this coming? He promised. I haven't seen it, they say. Ever since our ancestors died, my parents told me, my ancestors told me, but everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But it doesn't go on just as it has. At this reunion that I went to, we discussed things that happened a long time ago, and I was in the middle of a conversation because I happened to be one of the older people. So they wanted to know what happened and what did this person and everything. Why do we have this in our lives and everything? Well, it's changing, but it's not just like it's always been. My heart is heavy when I hear young people talk like the things that are going on today are just the great things, you know, and the language and everything. But it's changed a lot. We often hear comments today about that. This is one of the signs that Jesus is coming. That's what he said. Jesus sat and talked to his disciples, and he cautioned them not to be deceived. We are deceived. Many people are deceived. And because he said lawlessness will abound, and we see that in our nation, in our world, is, you know, the police are afraid to even arrest somebody. They don't want to arrest them because then they'll let them go. They'll be released and they'll come back and kill them. The love of many will grow cold. How many people do you hear that they, you know, so much there's no heart in the things that people do. It seems like they don't feel pain. They just hurt others. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We used to wonder, how could this gospel be preached in all the world? You know, we sent missionaries, and it's good. We still do. We send missionaries, but then how could it be? But now the technology, it's going all over the world now. They hear in remote places and they hear the gospel preached. In Hebrews, it says, Christ was offered once for all time, for everything, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, but it's not to deal with our sins then. It is to bring salvation. He's going to redeem us from all of the things that are going on. We're eagerly waiting for him. When he comes, he's going to take us out of this place. So we examine our faith, and we don't want to doubt. We don't want to become deceived listening to the things that people say. And we want to know that God's word is true. Regardless of what we think or anybody says, the word of God is truth. Everything else may fail, but God's word will not fail. Jesus is coming for those who are looking for him. That's another sign. He's coming for the ones who are looking for him. If you say, oh, he's never going to come, well, you probably won't see him. But anyway, in Matthew, the 26th chapter, Jesus was before the high priest, Caiaphas, and he was being questioned as to whether he was the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, I say to you, hereafter, later, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, he wasn't talking about this first taking away, but he said, the day will come, you're going to see it. And in John, the 14th chapter, Jesus said to his disciples and to us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's telling us, prepare. I'm going to make a place for you. If it weren't true, I wouldn't tell you this. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come and again and receive you to myself. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm looking forward to that time that you take me in, just take me, and it's going to be a precious reunion, and receive me unto yourself. Where you are, that's where I want to be. And when he had said these things, a little later in Acts, we read, while his disciples watched, a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, we know that after he was crucified, that he spent time and he was confirming and building their faith. But then a cloud received him, what was it, about 50 days later? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. They have to be angels. Who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will come, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's going to come just like he went. He went in a cloud, and he'll come back in a cloud. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, on the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem. And in 1 Thessalonians, we also read where Paul wrote, he said, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. I don't know who all will hear that shout, but I sure want to hear it. Don't you? Those that are waiting and looking for his coming, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those who have received Jesus and made him the Lord of their lives, they're going to rise first. You might be alive here, but if your spouse is gone, you're not the first one to go up. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll always be with the Lord. And I go up there, I believe that we will be at a supper. I believe that we're going to receive Passover, drink with Jesus. Another sign of Jesus' coming, as pointed to us, we remember about the rebirth of Israel in 1948. That was something that was prophesied that it would come to pass. And it said, Isaiah said, who has heard such a thing? He said, it is beyond our understanding and imagination. Who's seen it? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? But that's what happened. Israel became a nation in one day. And she gave birth to those children, her children. This is a prophecy by Isaiah around 700 B.C., before Christ even was, he prophesied that. And so we know that there are prophecies throughout the Bible. There are thousands of prophecies about the coming of the Lord and about what Jesus has come to do for us. Do you think Jesus really wants us to be with him? That many prophecies and that much time he spent, I believe he does. In Ezekiel, he had a vision. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost. They were cut off, but he said, you prophesy to them. And Ezekiel said, I prophesied, and they began to come together, rattle and come together. That nation, it was representing what was going to happen to Israel. They were going to come together and alive. And I believe that God will do that for us individually. I know that he will. People whose lives are just destroyed by sin, God wants to give you life. In Genesis, God made a promise to Abram, and later Abraham, telling, he said, I'll bless those that bless you. God wants to bless Israel, and he wants us to bless them however we can. We can pray for them. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And God keeps his promises. God is not a man that he should lie. In Numbers we read, he is nor the son of man that he should change his mind. He does not. What he said, he will do. And what he has spoken, he will perform. And he'll make it good. The eye of God is on Jerusalem every day. His promise to Abraham, he will keep. In Psalm, it says, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God knows what's going on there. We say, boy, it looks bad. And they are persevering. But there's coming a day when he will redeem those that will turn to him. In 1967, we remember the Six-Day War. That was another indication prophesied. And about that, like birds hovering overhead, the prophecy Isaiah gave, he said, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass it over it and will rescue it. And we know that that happened with those planes. They came in and they did the impossible, and they were rescued, and they won that defeat. They were conquered it. There are some people who believe in replacement theology. I know that I've talked to people. They say, well, the Jews, now it's Christians. That it's not so. God has not forsaken the Jews, and Christians have not replaced them, but he has included us. We can become just like his chosen people if we choose to do that. And we are living in that day when we have a day of special grace, this time of grace, but I don't know how long it will last. There are some people in Obadiah, it says, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Now, we think about that. If we want, there's a lot of activity against Israel and against the Jewish people, not just in Israel, but in the United States. It's a disgrace, a shame that people would act like they do. God doesn't look at color. He doesn't look at your background, nothing. He gives you the opportunity, but the Jewish people are his chosen people. But we have people that are doing things against them, just like they did in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read about how Haman tried to get rid of, eradicate the Jewish people, they will not be eradicated. They will not be destroyed because God has chosen them and they have a plan and he had made a promise to Abraham. And you remember the story how Haman, the very gallows that he built, he was hung on himself. He had a lot of pride. He thought he was really smart and he was going to be exalted. Instead, it was not him at all, but Mordecai. God is still watching out for Israel. Under President Trump, Jerusalem was declared as the capital of Israel. That was a great day. I remember so well. And we're rejoicing. And Genesis, the 17th chapter, the writer wrote, I will establish my covenant, God said, between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. He said, I'll establish, and he has done that, and he is doing that, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. And he told Abraham, I'll give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you're a stranger. Now there's argument, well, that's not really their land. Well, here says right here that it is. And so, and he says, in all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. Today still, it still is theirs. And he says, I will be their God. Israel is God's land, ordained for the Jewish people, the descendants of Isaac, to live in forever. Ishmael, the Palestinians, were not promised Israel. Ishmael was promised wealth and 12 princes because Abraham talked to God and he said, bless Ishmael. And God did. But he said, he's not the son of blessing. He's not the one that I've promised. So because Isaac was not yet born, but God said Jerusalem was promised to Isaac and his descendants. And so Abraham kind of stepped out of God's plan there for a bit and got in trouble. That's part of the why. That's why all the problems are existing today. In answer to Abraham's request, God did give Ishmael blessings. He said, I have blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful and multiply him. He said, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. And so it is. A sign of Jesus' return is that knowledge, one of the signs is that knowledge will increase. We see that in our nation today. Knowledge all the time is increasing. They have artificial intelligence. Things that I cannot begin to understand, it's scary. It really is. I understand that they are now creating a vaccine for the next whatever is going to happen. They don't know what it is, but they're already creating the vaccine. That kind of puzzles me. I don't understand that. But anyway, so God told Daniel when he spoke to him and gave him the prophetic words. He said, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. He said, many will go here and there, and they will increase knowledge. And that's where we have come. Daniel could not have understood the prophecy because it was strange. It was couldn't be. But now we see how it could. There is a knowledge that is greater than earthly knowledge, though. That knowledge is godly knowledge. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I can confirm that. That's the true wisdom, and that's understanding. If we have no knowledge of the Holy One, what do we really have? We have nothing to build our lives upon. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Nothing. We have nothing without respect for God, seeking Him and learning about Him. Any claim to man-made knowledge is absolutely worthless as far as eternity. I'm not saying you have to be stupid, that you don't have to understand technology like I don't. But anyway, I want you to know that there is an understanding and a knowledge that is godly knowledge that is far greater. Hosea said in the fourth chapter, he said, God said to him, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The man-made earthly knowledge that we put so much stock into will ultimately be replaced. Habakkuk says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Wouldn't you like that? As the waters cover the sea, God's knowledge is all that matters. For man-made knowledge, it will be replaced totally, universally, and forever by the wonderful truth of God. Jesus' own words to his disciples spoke of the signs of his return. After the rapture, the catching away of those who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. That's what rapture means. They're caught away, taken. Jesus will return with his saints and angels. After the people come out of the graves who have believed in Jesus, they put their faith in that sacrifice that he told them to. And they go, the dead rise, and then those that are alive go up to be with him. Then he's going to come back. I believe that during that time will be the marriage supper. I'm not sure exactly, but that's what I believe. And then he's going to come back to earth. Jesus will. Where will he come after the rapture? When he comes again, the Bible tells, to what location will Jesus come back? His return will be exactly from where he left, the same place that he was when he left. He says in Revelation, the 19th chapter, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Now, this is when he comes back with his saints. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven clothed in pure, fine linen. Who is clothed in pure, fine linen? The saints. The saints of God. They're and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, he rode into Jerusalem on that little colt of a donkey. Humble. But he will not come back like that. Zechariah says in the 14th chapter, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. You see, it cannot stand. You wonder what my husband said when he was seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If any more of the presence of God were to come upon me, he said, my body would explode. The mountain has to give with the presence of God. Jesus steps on that mountain and it will split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Well, who is it that will see him when this happens? We've already been taken up in the rapture. Now we're on white horses coming back. Who is going to see him? Revelation, the first chapter says, behold, he is coming with clouds and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why will they mourn? Because they have not believed, because they have rejected. And now here, he is who he has claimed to be. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm in the beginning. Before it was ever any creation, he was there. And I am the Omega, the end. The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. What a God we serve. Aren't you glad that you serve a God like this? Why is Jesus coming? Jesus is coming to fulfill his promise, number one, and he will defeat the Antichrist and his followers. He will be victorious and he will regather faithful Israel. Those that now, they have seen the error of their ways, and there will be those who will say, we accept him. He is the true Son of God. In Revelation, this 19th chapter, verses 6 through 9, it says, I heard something like the voice John was writing of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! Can you imagine if God is speaking, it's going to be like thunder. It's going to shake the place. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. There's coming a day. We've got a lot of people who want to be a ruler. They want to be president. They want to be in authority. The day is coming. Our God is the one who will reign, and he will decide. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. How does that get? The fine linen is the righteousness. Jesus gave us his righteousness when we accepted him. He has clothed us. That linen represents the purity of Jesus. Not by my works. Absolutely not. Romans, Paul wrote in the 14th chapter, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, if we have gone in the rapture, we've already received our reward. We've been acknowledged. But then those who have not, remember how the goats and the sheep, and he said, on my right and on my left, they have to give an account. In Revelation 19, 11 through 16, John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. I told you that what he says he will do exactly as he says. He is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Are there a lot of judgments today in our world that are not righteous? They're trumped up charges or whatever they are. They're not pure. But he's going to judge in righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, but he's the living Word. And there he represents. So when you read the Word of God, you are reading that precious, dipped in blood Word that Jesus has left for us. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I want to be a part of that army, don't you? I'm not too good at riding a horse. I used to ride one bareback, but not anymore. But I'll be able to. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. These are wicked nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That means that he's not a pussy cat. It is what he says. He has the strength, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are a lot of people who want to be elevated and they want to be in leadership, but there's only one that truly is worthy. And he will one day rule, and we will be under his authority. There's nothing more that I know of that could happen, that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come and catch away his saints. Every prophet and everybody that I hear, and according to the Word of God, I see nothing more that needs to be fulfilled. I didn't say that means it's got to be right now. I don't know when it is, nor do you. No man knows except the Father. Even the Son does not know. I think perhaps God says just a little more. There's a song we used to sing, just a little longer, please Jesus, a little time to get our loved ones in. I don't know if we have done that, but that's sometimes, you know what, I do have a testimony that somebody that went to youth camp, and they're going to church today, said, never been there before, said, do I need a reservation? I said, not for church, but you have to have one for heaven. You got to have a reservation for heaven. We're living in the dispensation of grace. so that we can be saved. God was merciful. He said, I didn't close out those others. I love them all. You know how he went to the Samaritan woman? He went to those who were rejected. He made a covenant with Abraham, but he has included you and me. What grace God has extended to us. We need to search our hearts and trust in the blood of Jesus and look for his coming. He's coming for those who are looking for him. I want to be looking for him and waiting. I want to be ready. Don't you? If you're watching this broadcast today and you're not prepared, or you say, I don't really know how, don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'm telling you that all you have to do is say, I believe, I trust you, Jesus. The thief that hung on the cross beside Jesus, there were two of them. One of them said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was recognizing that he was a sinner. Remember me. You know, he confessed that already. And he said, when you come into your kingdom, he was recognizing he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there would be a kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me. It doesn't take much. All it takes is faith. Just saying, I surrender. It's not my works. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Remember me, O Lord. I receive you, Jesus. Let your blood cleanse me. And so as I pray, I trust that you will make Jesus the Lord of your life if you have not done that. Because I don't know when he may come. We're looking at an election and we say we want the best guy that's going to lead this nation. Well, I don't know who the best guy is. I think I know who I'd rather have. You may know who you'd rather have, or maybe you're questioning it. But no leader can do what God can do in our nation. We must acknowledge and exalt him above all others. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for that precious word of God that is clothed and wrapped in the blood of Jesus. There is no way that we can come to you except through that blood. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and gave your life willingly that we might be redeemed. We give you praise and we give you honor, and we accept you right now to be the Lord of our lives. It doesn't mean that we'll never make a mistake, but it means that you're there to pick us up and to forgive and to help us. And I pray for those who have that faith today that they will make that decision in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I trust that you'll have a blessed week. And if Jesus doesn't come, I'll see you next week. Bless you. Yeah, lower. Boy, I should have said, even if he comes, I'll see you when he comes. I'll see you in the rapture. Anyway, so I don't know if there's anybody here. We've prayed for needs, and if you have a special need, or if you want to draw closer to the Lord, that's what we want to, every one of us. We have a need for more of Jesus. We sang the song about, you know, Jesus having more of him, and him taking our vessel and making it a fresh vessel. And so that's anybody. Is there anyone who needs special prayer? Okay, we're so glad that Colleen came today. Glad she, even if they weren't planning for her to, but God had other plans, and he heard our prayer, and I'm so thankful.